Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
All right, welcome back. It is Tuesday, so we had to slip a little bit because I was out of town, and more to follow on that. But the revolving door at the number one spot in college football keeps rolling along. It tends to be open this week. Will the number one team in the country be able to hold on to the spot for more than just a couple weeks? The cardiac canes cause ulcers and somehow keep winning, but how long can they keep it up? What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio, two O's and an NCO. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Icabesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe calling from the home of the Big House. How are we doing this week, guys? What did you end up watching?
Good, man. As you know, I went to the Army game. Thought the Cadets looked great for 3.5 quarters. Saw them swoon for the first time for a half quarter right there at the start of the last stanza. Looking forward to talking about that a bit more on the other show. Watched that Navy. Okay. We are struggling today. Watched the Navy game for a little bit, but gave up because Charlotte decided not to play football. And we listened to Alabama at Tennessee on the drive home. That was fun. And then listened to the end of Rice at Tulane. Briefly thought the Owls were going to pull off the upset. And I closed by watching the first half of North Texas at Memphis. Very frustrated that the Mean Green couldn't quite get that one. But what can you do?
Yeah, for sure. Joe, how about you? What was on your slate this weekend?
You know, off script, that Miami game may have like started my ulcer because they were the tail end of a 12 o'clock game, 6-leg, 7-leg parlay. And if I didn't send it to you, I thought I did, but they were it. They were the last nail in the coffin. So I watched that barn burner with Miami coming away with a victory late, and it was just touchdown for touchdown there in the second half. It was insane. Then unfortunately I got to watch my Michigan Wolverines get beat again in a game where they just, you know, I sent it to you in the first quarter. They should be unranked. They're not relevant. And I'm going to focus on pretty much the rest of college football this season and just take the victory lap that they won last year. Cause they might need several things, including a coach. I don't know yet, but then I watched, watched Georgia announce that they're back and just pushing Texas around like they were child's play. And then Alabama getting upset to Tennessee was just absolutely insane game for four quarters. But my question is, you think Georgia's going to actually hang on to that number one spot, or is it going to be another revolving door? They look like they were back to me. I don't know if that was a fluke or if that's something they can sustain.
Yeah, it's like, who knows, man.
My opinion is you got to catch the dogs early because they are a different team at the end of the season. And now that we've reached the halfway point, the real Georgia has stood up. We'll see. Yeah. But
And typically what we see is Bama's got a Bama. You know, yeah. They're not doing that this season. And you know, normally, you know, there's probably three teams in college football that are habitual powerhouses. You know, mm-hmm. Bama, Ohio State, and, you know, freaking Georgia. You either catch them in the first 6 weeks or you're not catching them at all. Yep. And, you know, all of those teams have taken an L. The other question that I have, you know, and this is the thing that I was talking to some LSU friends while I was at Universal Studios, and I was like, so do you think a 2-loss Bama still makes it into the playoff? And LSU fans are like, hell no, man. Like, they don't deserve it. Okay, huh. That's fair.
If they win out, they will.
But yeah,
they're going to fill seats.
But that becomes the question. It's like, look, you know, we can have a much, much deeper discussion about, you know, cash and college football. See
some bigger market teams get the push. And, and there's expanded games, there's expanded money making opportunities. So they're going to want the teams that travel well.
Yeah, they're going to want butts and seats. And speaking of butts and seats,
they still have to win out.
Wait, hold on. Before we go on, let me just say that if Bama does sneak in with 2 losses, I need them to play at Boise State, not the other way around.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I think that
100%. They're not royalty. I mean, I know we're getting off script, but I agree.
But aren't they?
And Ashton Jonte is just making like a genius over here, by the way.
Yeah, but aren't they?
I mean, they've been de-Sabined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and ever seen Game of Thrones? What happens when you take the leader and you can't replace them?
Yeah.
Empires fall.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Yeah, so I was on the road most of the weekend. I did both Halloween events in Orlando, which was cool. We can talk about that a little bit more, but I did get to watch the Army game. I thought it was a tale of two halves. I thought the first half was much, much better than the second. I think the slump, God, just makes it easier for coach to have something to talk about in films, like for real. Like, I don't think that was by design. I think it was a letdown. They kind of let they took their foot off the gas.
If they checked out mid-game because they thought it was in the bag, it's going to show up on film. And with the coaches they got, that'll be addressed because you got Navy, you got Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Like come on now.
Yeah. Army's going into the tougher part of their schedule, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit more on the next show. But I was checking scores the whole time. You know, what's going on in Texas, man? Is Quinn Ewers like everything that we hoped he was going to be, or what happened? Because he got smacked around, gets pulled. You know, Arch Manning gets smacked around. There was no answers. And again, that goes back to, like, maybe that's a coaching thing, right?
This is an honest question. Is Ewers healthy?
I don't know.
See, that's the thing is, like, he held them out for how long?
Yeah, they held him out for 2 weeks to bring him back specifically for, you know, the Red Rover rivalry. And then he gets hosed.
But everybody scores on Oklahoma, so no big deal, right?
Yeah, unfortunately for them. And then again, we already mentioned, you know, my last comment in the outline is just like, hey, you know, does a two-loss Bama get in? You know, probably. And I think there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a bearded guy with a wig that's going to look an awful lot like Nick Saban that shows up in that locker room to start making corrections. Because, like, I honestly don't think I wouldn't say that they're in trouble because it's college football. They're going to win 10 games, right? We know that. But the reality of it is expectations versus reality. You know, Bama may run the table. They may make the playoff, but it's not the same team that it was last year being coached by Nick Saban or the team in previous years that's won national championships. And speaking of a champion, we have a champion for you that will help you get into a new home. So we have a realtor here, and her name is Jocelyn Bradley. She is a sponsor for the Ask for Football show. If you're PCSing to Fort Liberty, she's the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics, where she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has decided to support Ask for Football this season, and she's going to help you get into the home of your dreams. So please reach out to her. She's got a business card on the Ask for Football website. She also has an extended network of veteran realtors, and not veteran realtors as in they are veterans that are realtors that can help you out. And she can connect you with anyone else. There's lots of housing referral services out there, and she can help you get to where you want to be, even if you're not PCSing to the mothership here at Fort Liberty /Bragg. Over to you, Dano, for the Service Academy standings.
Yeah, man. So number 23 Army is now 7-0 after beating the Pirates of ECU. The Black Knights have a bye this week. That is good, I guess, in the sense that they got to play Air Force in 2 weeks. But it has left a little bit of a existential crisis amongst the fanfare. Team is certainly going to have some coachable moments after this weekend's 45-28 win. But still, that is a commanding win, and depending on when you bet, they probably covered the spread. Bryson Daly accounted for 5 touchdowns for the Army team. I thought he accounted for all 6. And the offensive line looked extremely dominant in the first half against a really good rushing defense. Coach Munkin's going to get these guys prepared for Air Force next week, but you know, Rob says he wouldn't want to be in the locker room for the film breakdown. Like I said, we're going to talk about that in the next show because I think I have a little bit different take on this than he does. Now, number 25 Navy put a hurting on a Charlotte 51-17. And it's weird because Charlotte beat the crap out of ECU, which I would have said was a better team. And then they get smacked around by Navy by turning the ball over five times, including throwing two pick sixes. I'm just, you know, some of that came on boneheaded plays, but you know, also that Mids defense, we were kind of questioning it before, but they forced a fumble. The second pick six came off a pretty nice defensive play. You know, that defense is coming around. Charlotte outgained the Mids by quite a bit. I mean, it was nuts. They forced six punts from Navy. Like, the game should have at least been competitive on that basis, but you can't win turning the ball over five times. That's just not normal. So yeah,
for sure.
I think the 49ers have some things that they got to work on. And Navy rushing 41 times for 4.1 yards per carry, 171 yards total. Like, I don't know, man. We'll see. They're boom or bust. Right. Yeah. And they're taking on Notre Dame this week, and they opened at 16 points. The line's now down to about 11.5. Like, we'll talk about this more when we get to our locks of the week, but
that's a pretty generous line for Navy, particularly the way they played against
the Fighting Irish should be much, much more than 11-point favorites. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of money coming in, a lot of home money coming in on the Mids right now.
Yeah.
Finally, Air Force dropped another miserable loss to Colorado State this week, losing 21-13. Oddly, they didn't even bring the Ram Falcon trophy with them to the game. So that, you know, they got to FedEx that thing over to Colorado State, which is very strange.
That's suspect right there.
I know. It's very strange. They didn't bring the Commander-in-Chief's trophy to the Army Air Force game last year either, so we didn't have it on the field for the Army-Navy game. That's weird. I don't know what's up with that. Huh. Apparently, the Zoomies broke a 22-year winning streak against the Rams by losing this time.
Yeah, so, it was historic. They're historically bad.
Yeah.
Like, so they got a bye week to prepare for Army. I don't think they have the horses, but of course, last year, a pretty mediocre Army team beat the crap out of an undefeated Air Force team. So we'll see what they look like in a week.
Yeah.
Over on the non-FBS side, Coast Guard Bears are 3-3 after failing to complete the fourth quarter comeback against Salve Regina. They lost on homecoming, which sucks. They take on Norwich this week on Flow Sports starting at noon. Merchant Marine Academy is rolling at 5-1. They beat Norwich 49-7 on senior day. They have a good attack, man. This is a good team. They take on Worcester Polytech at 2:30 on Flow Sports on Saturday. It's an interesting game.
Yeah, for sure. And then moving back to the American real quick, I think the game of the week is consensus for just about everybody. It's going to be Navy at Notre Dame. You've got a ranked team versus a ranked team. They're playing at MetLife Stadium. Navy fans and Irish fans travel a lot, so expect a relatively large crowd for that game. I'm surprised it hasn't sold out yet. I know there are some guys in the First Tee Club talking about they were able to get tickets to go to the game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that game. Like, I will tell you, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing other stuff, you know. And what I mean by that is, like, can Navy put up offense with their offense that they have against a team like Notre Dame? I also think Notre Dame has had their letdown this season, right? So, like, the perfect storm would have been an undefeated Notre Dame goes in looking past Navy and Navy clips them, you know. But I don't think that's going to happen. You know, and so I think it's going to be a much closer contest than people think. But, you know, maybe in the first half, I think Navy will keep it close. You know, they'll surprise them with some of the offensive tricks that they're having in the bag. And then Notre Dame will adjust, and they should beat them pretty soundly.
Six punts against Charlotte. Six.
Yeah. Six punts.
This offense does not make first downs. They either score against busted coverage or they punt. That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah. So and that's what I'm saying. So it'll be a very, very interesting method to see what happens with Notre Dame.
If you're not going to beat Notre Dame in a standard way, you better have more than one trick up your sleeve if they call you on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other part of it is like athletes in space, man, you're not going to be able to throw swing passes through your fullbacks and have those guys break like 40, 50 chunk yard touchdowns like Navy's been doing.
You're going to have a couple of 4-4 linebackers blazing side to side.
So. Yeah, I would expect, you know, Notre Dame's defensive backfield to be slightly better than some of the teams that Navy has played this to this point.
I'd take that bet.
Yeah, so other games of note, though, around the American, you got North Texas and Tulane. That's going to be a good one, man, just because North Texas kind of, you know, came in a little bit – I don't know that they came in sluggish, but they didn't finish the game. You know, and Tulane is
right on that one wrong.
Yeah. Well, in Tulane in North Texas, man, like these guys, it's going to be a slugfest just like Memphis. Like, expect a moderately decent point scoring game, probably 60, 65 points in that one. Those guys, they match up well. And again, both North Texas and Tulane are trying to take eyeballs off the service academies. And, you know, not to talk bad about the service academies, but I can say this. I think, you know, the country as a whole is in a hangover with service academy football. It's like, yeah, it's great that everybody is doing well. Make no mistake. However, you know, we still have the other half of the season to play, and anything can happen. And yeah. I think, you know, going into these next two contests, I think Army still has a halfway decent break taking on Air Force just because of the way that the Zoomies have performed this year. But going into, you know, North Texas and Tulane games, whew, you know, those are going to be some heavy lifts.
So if North Texas can beat Tulane this week, then they're essentially just an upset of Army away from playing in the conference championship, because their schedule after the Army game is pretty easy.
Yeah. And so that's the thing that they should be gunning for. So you got Temple and ECU, should be a decent matchup. It'll be interesting how quickly the Pirates can put something together after losing their coach. I didn't expect the coach to get removed that quickly. I mean, like he did bad last year, but he was 500. I mean, that's, you know, not the best look as an organization, and who you're going to get to step up to be the interim coach if you get fired, you know, at 500. You know what I mean? And I get it. He's probably not 500 total for the time, but like, he's doing okay this year. And then of course we've got Rice at UConn. Both teams have played better. Rice is trending upward. UConn is kind of middle of the road right now, but we'll see what happens. Dano, you get anything in the papers there?
I have not read the Connecticut Post in a couple of days, I confess, but my sense is that UConn is a better team, if very similar to Rice. But, you know, hell, I thought Rice was going to beat Tulane there for about 10 minutes, so what can you do?
Tulane was the other leg in my parlay that had me sweating against Rice.
I mean, Rice plays good defense, and they've got a really good running back.
Yeah. So.
I don't understand that at all. I think it's going to be within a touchdown, and it's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. You know, I think the more competitive, and sad to say, like, the more competitive the teams that Army has beaten get later on in the schedule, it makes their case for the, you know, and that's just like for anybody. The better your opponents play after you beat them, the better your chances are of getting, you know, some kind of postseason accolades or a better position in the bowl bracketing when it comes out. So, speaking of winning teams, let's talk about the top 20 or the top 10 this week. Joe, you got it.
All right. At number one, we have Oregon, who jumped up one. The Ducks made short work of Purdue as they rolled into town and pitched a shutout, 35-0. I am, however, questioning the number one spot being held by Oregon. I think there's possibly three or four teams that could beat them on a neutral site. Oregon travels to, Illinois comes to town. It's in Eugene next week. So it's I think it's a 3:00 game. At number two, UGA is back. Georgia bumps up three spots as the Bulldogs aren't going anywhere. And they let the world know as they rolled into Texas and handled the Longhorns 30-15. UGA has a much needed week off this Saturday. At number three, we got Penn State as they stay at the three spot. The Nittany Lions had no game last week, but they do travel to play a very tough Wisconsin team in the primetime next week in front of a bunch of drunk college students in Madison, Wisconsin. It's going to be a wild game, and that's going to be a trap for Penn State right there. At number four, Ohio State stays neutral because they were off last week. They have the Cornhuskers coming into Columbus on Saturday. That's going to be a blowout. At number five, we got Texas, who took the black guy from Georgia as they got pummeled. They dropped four spots, and they traveled to play the Rubik's Cube that some teams can't figure out in Vanderbilt this weekend. So they better have it all together, or Vanderbilt's going to pull another upset. Number six, Miami stays at the number six spot, but the Cardiac Canes pulled out a barn burner against Louisville, 52-45. To stay undefeated, they have the once great Florida Seminoles come to town on Saturday for what will be a drubbing, no doubt. At number seven, we got Tennessee bumping up four spots as the Volunteers pull off the upset over Alabama, 24-17, and Tennessee is rolling. I, for one, think they might be a touch underrated at this moment, just by watching them play.
Interesting.
Number eight, we got LSU as they stayed neutral. The Tigers stay at number eight, despite smacking around a very underrated and tough Arkansas Razorbacks team, 34-10. They travel to A&M Saturday to hopefully close out a very tough schedule in October. Number nine, we got Clemson bumping up a spot. The Tigers move up one spot as they go to Virginia and handle business 48-31. Clemson, among several others in the top 10, is off on Saturday. And at number 10, we got Iowa State. The Cyclones drop a spot despite a hard-fought victory over Central Florida, who gave them a fight 38-35. To move to 7-0 on the season, what a great first half it's been for the Cyclones. And that closes up the top 10.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, so top 25 losses for the year. We kind of hit the rest of the also-rans on this. We got 37 notable losses so far this season. Texas got throttled, as we mentioned before, 30-15, like seven sacks, man. They pulled Quinn Ewers. And it goes back to what we were talking about before the show really got started. Is Quinn Ewers actually healthy? You know, like that. I think that's the biggest question coming out of the Georgia game. And hey, look, Georgia's defense is good, man. You know, their defense has always been good. It was just their offense had a little bit of trouble getting going. You know, we talked about Tennessee beating Bama. Bama's a two-loss team, and, you know, sorry for the Michigan faithful. Like, I guess they feel like Thanos after the snap. You know, what did the national championship cost you? Everything. And so
now the Lions are playing so well, is all I'll say.
Yeah, and so for fans in the state of Michigan, you may have to tune your channel elsewhere to see what's going on. The number one
Michigan State this weekend, we better get it right, man. I'm not you don't understand what a loss to them feels like when you lose.
yeah,
so, we got to get that one. I think win, but I think it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, the pressure cooker is on, and like all we don't need to see is another ugly Michigan State kicker celebration, if you remember that one. But speaking of people that
I've had dreams of pummeling that guy. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, and speaking of people that have
seen it enough,
have burdens with success. Joe, let's dive into the Blue Falcon of the Week.
All right, this one may be a controversial one, but. You know, I love college football, and I don't necessarily relish my duty of handing out this award, but it's not whether I want to do it or not. I have to do it. And so this week might be a surprise. My Blue Falcon of the Week, I'll just get to it, is the head coach of the now two-loss Alabama Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer. Why, you ask? I'll tell you. Maybe the greatest college football coach to ever do it, Nick Saban, put that team together for you. And they haven't had two losses before Halloween since I was 4 years old. And I'm old. You've got over 100 kids on those sidelines, and more than 50 of them are going to the NFL. And that's a modest assessment. If you can get them up to be a team like Georgia that just smacked around Texas, then take them to Vanderbilt and lose, then lose again to Tennessee, you aren't doing your job properly or consistently, one of the two. You certainly aren't doing it like the guy who was there before you did it. Now, those are mighty big shoes to fill. But they're a really nice pair of shoes with some very comfortable insoles that every time you walk down the street, people say, hey, those are great shoes. All right. That's a great looking team. What are you going to do when you have to recruit on your own? I'm not an Alabama fan. And personally, I don't mind if they lose. But when you step up to replace a god amongst men, you better do his years of service justice. And quite frankly, I don't think you are right now. Jalen Milroe looks like he's lost focus. Malachi Moore's throwing temper tantrums and kicking footballs out of the ref's hands. I'm not going to be an alarmist and say it's lack of institutional control, but you're not doing the talent that was gifted to you any justice, in my opinion. For those matters, and the fact that Alabama has two losses before I've taken my kids trick-or-treating since I was young enough to go trick-or-treating myself, Coach DeBoer, you're my Blue Falcon of the Week.
Yes. All right. So I think Tennessee is better than you think they are. I think Tennessee might be a little better than you think they are, but I will agree that Jalen Milroe looks like he's regressed since they played Georgia.
I'm not saying it was automatic that they should have beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm saying the mistakes that Milroe made in the second half, it was like, that isn't the guy that Michigan played.
Yeah.
He put the team on his back and took the lead back from Michigan in the fourth quarter. And I was like, oh crap. We just woke up Jalen Hurts. I know the kid's got the talent. I've seen it.
Yeah.
That's against the defense that was mostly drafted into the NFL or is going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, he's got the talent.
Yeah, for sure. So moving on, and speaking of, we're adding insult to injury. So we're talking about, you know, 1-5 and now 1-6 teams. And so I put the question out and said, hey, you know, which 1-6 team has had the worst fall from grace? And I can say that now because, like, there are teams that are legitimately struggling, and we understand that. Both Air Force and Florida State have similar seasons and similar results over this weekend, right? Both of these guys lost to their longtime rivals in football contests, which they hadn't lost to in 20 years. So, for example, Florida State has never lost to Duke until this weekend. Never in the history of those programs playing each other. You know, Colorado State hadn't touched the Round Falcon Trophy in 2 decades, and all of a sudden now it's getting, you know, FedEx to their location because, you know,
we didn't put it in the truck for some reason.
Yeah, come on, you know what I mean? Like, the hubris, you know, sheer effing hubris that you think it's just going to go your way. But
it's a good word because when I say it, I sound smart.
For sure. But the real question is, like, whose fall from grace has been the worst, man? Because, like, you've got those guys, and I've got a list, you know, in my notes. But right now, you're 1-6 teams going into this season. You've got Florida State. You've got Air Force, UAB, Purdue, UMass, Akron, Utah State, Southern Miss, Troy, and Mississippi State. And then, you know, the worst team in college football has to be the Kent State Golden Flashes with a illustrious record of 0-7.
Could it be the name? My God, Golden Flashes?
But come on, that's like, they're on par. You know what I'm saying? They're not underachieving. This is kind of who Kent State tends to be.
Dano comes in with a fax. That's truth. They're not expected to be.
Go ahead, Dano.
Rob, and I'll just say Florida State's fall is the worst of all of these by a mile because people had them in the playoff, man. Like, they were undefeated last year. Everybody was, I mean, they were ready to crown these dudes before the season started. Weren't they ranked in the top 10? I mean, that Florida State team is they're struggling. Like, that is a struggle. And with Air Force, the only people who thought Air Force were going to be good this year are people who do not watch Air Force. They have 5 returning starters from previous teams. Like, I told you before the season started that their ceiling was 5 wins. It looks like their ceiling might not even be 5 wins, but they are who I personally thought they were. Like, I don't think they're underperforming. They just, you know, they sold their soul for rock and roll, and now that's due. You know, Florida State, like, that's a team that I don't know what happened to Florida State, but yo, it is not good.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, what about you?
Okay, everything Dano said for 60 seconds, repeat. It's literally the same thing. He almost nailed my first 2 sentences word for word. So I've been witness to being a fan of a team that loses that game to a team we haven't lost to in 30 years. I've watched it happen at Michigan. And let me tell you, when that starts happening for the first time, dark days are coming. And it's going to take a while to get out. So I'll just say that as my caveat to what Dana was saying. And then I'll move to the fact that I appreciate you didn't mention my boys. But the fall from quality of play is bigger, maybe nowhere right now, than on the offensive side of the ball, right down the road in Ann Arbor. I don't mean to use your talking point as a jump off to talk more about Michigan than I already do, but if they don't win on Saturday, they'll be 4-4 and a loss to Michigan State. I understand that losing key players can catch a program with their pants down, but there's no excuse for the gap in talent at quarterback at Michigan. Most solid Michigan fans that I know agree that, dude, we're Michigan. You always have somebody lined up 2 years later. And I'm telling you, we don't. That's all there is to it. How many quarterbacks have played for you? 4? Okay, then none have really played for you. You either have 1 quarterback and a backup. Michigan used to do that when stuff was bad. They always had, we're not sure if it's Denard or Tate. And it's like, dude, if you're saying that, that's your general. That's your guy that's going into the firefight and leading you around and making sure that things work the way they're supposed to. You're supposed to have 1. And, you know, they don't have 1. So it's going to be a while, too. Right now they're working on Bryce Underwood, who's the number 1 high school recruit in the country. he plays right down the road and he's committed to LSU. That's a problem. That doesn't happen in Michigan. Like, that kid goes to Michigan, you historically. So they don't get him, they're in deep trouble. I'll get back on script now. But as far as the Air Force Academy is concerned, I have a soft spot for the service academies because of the way they need to recruit. It's much different. They don't benefit from the NIL like other schools do. And young men, they don't want to transfer into a program to play football that commits your life completely to something bigger than you after you're done playing football. They mostly want to go play in the league. So it's tough to get, those recruits. And this is a historically bad year for Air Force. So, the big recruits, they're not going to, the holes that, and that was what I was going to say about Army, even though I'm getting completely off topic, is I think the only thing that could be their downfall late in the season is the fact that these teams like Michigan and Alabama and Tennessee and LSU, they've got too deep. And their too deep looks exactly like the guy in front of them. And, when players go down for the service academies, I feel like their depth later on in the season is something that's always historically been a problem for them to cross over and compete in a bowl game with a Power 5 team. I feel like it's the fact that everybody's banged up, except these teams have the budget and the recruiting, talent to have a 4-star behind a 5-star ready to go. And, some of these the service academy teams, they just don't have that kind of depth when it gets later on in the season. So I'll get off my soapbox, sorry I went off script a little bit, but.
No, that's a good assessment. And like I said, one of the biggest issues that I've seen with the teams that are really struggling, like some of them, usual suspects, UAB, not surprised. Purdue, maybe a little bit, but they usually are, at least 500 by the end of the year.
It's unacceptable at UAB. Yeah. They've been historically competitive, more competitive than they are now. I mean,
correct. And that's true. And that's part of the problem is it's the underperforming that's really the issue, And like when you look at the list of teams that aren't doing so well, it's like these guys are not the guys that have, $20 million coaches, with 4 to 6 year salaries that they're dumping, metric tons of cash towards these guys to have program improvement. And so when you're at a smaller school, yes, it's a little bit more difficult. And like you said, it's harder to recruit, particularly knowing that, there are guys that probably won't see the field that are just as talented as the starters at some of the bigger name schools. But look at what happened to Duke. Duke is looking great. Part of the reason why they look so good is because they went out and found hate to say it, but I would be interested to see, and I haven't dove into it yet, but I would be interested to see of how many QB1s in major college football are transfers, because
it's got to be almost all of them.
I would venture a guess it's easily half or more than half, and it'll be interesting to see if that trend continues.
That's why I keep preaching Ohio State, Dano, even though I'm not a fan. If that team gels by the end of the season and stays healthy and learns how to utilize their weapons properly on offense.
Wow. I said that today, these players, these teams are like a season of the real world. We picked 53 strangers to live in a house and be a college football team.
Let's stop being.
Yeah, it's going to take some time to come together.
Yeah. it's true. And I think that's one of the things that's is part of the concern. However, if you are the type of people or person that is looking for that right guy, we have the right guy for you. Especially if you're doing a new home mortgage. Dan, over to you for the next read.
So if you have listened to this show before, you know that we are sponsored by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending at New American Funding in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states and one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Why? Craig is not a big box bank or a call center or some mindless website. He is an actual person who is going to talk to you on the phone, walk you through the mortgage process, which, by the way, is very confusing, and help you to get the best deal that he possibly can, because that is his business. That is how he makes money. And it's also, by the way, how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by helping introduce you to the very man that you need to meet. And guess what? If Craig treats you well, then you're going to tell somebody else that he treated you well, and that's how he gets repeat business. It is not that complicated. Plus, this is important, guys. Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money, friends. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, his link is on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com, click the little business card, fill out a questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. I'm telling you, it's too easy. And believe me when I say that you will be glad that you did.
Thanks, Deno. Moving on to the games of the week. Hey, folks, we got football on Tuesday. So as soon as the show wraps, you need to turn on your TV so you can watch Sam Houston and FIU. That's 7:30 at ESPNU. Then you have UTEP and Louisiana Tech on CBS Sports Network. Wednesday, the 23rd, you've got Liberty at Kennesaw State. That should be a decent matchup. Thursday, you've got Georgia Southern and ODU playing. And then you have a ranked matchup, Syracuse at Pitt. Pitt is quietly sneaking in there, man. Like, they're a good, solid team this season. If you're not watching the Pitt Panthers, you're missing out some good football because they're actually playing fairly well this season. This would be an interesting matchup on Friday. We wouldn't have thought of it until you saw the way that they played against Miami this past weekend. Louisville at Boston College is probably going to be a much better game than you initially. Like, if you saw that earlier in the year, you're probably like, no big deal. I think that's going to be a much better contest than we expect. We've got the dark horse for the Heisman Trophy, Austin Junte, taking on UNLV Friday night at 10:30 p.m. So for those of you guys that stay up late,
be a game.
That's a good one. It's a crime that it's on that late, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the Left Coast, man. Enjoy that one because I think that's going to be a very good game. You got Rutgers at USC in that's a Big Ten matchup at 11 o'clock on a Friday night. What the hell, man?
Why did the Pac-12 die?
Yeah, conference realignment sucks. Moving on. So you got Notre Dame at Navy. That's noon on ABC and ESPN Plus, which is a change for both of those teams because, Navy is usually CBS Sports Network, and Notre Dame is usually on the NBC family of networks. So for it to be, reminder to everybody, ABC Network. Nebraska at Ohio State. You've got Washington playing Indiana. Indiana is quietly good this year. They're probably going to roll those guys up at the Huskies. Oklahoma at Ole Miss. That should be an interesting contest, probably not as exciting as it would have been 2 weeks ago. Georgia Tech at Virginia Tech. I think that'll be a good game. Tech-on-tech violence is always good. Moving down the slate, you've got Temple at East Carolina. We talked about that as an American contest. Those are two teams that are somewhat trending upward. I think Temple is probably in the better position in that one. UTSA at Tulsa. Like, UTSA is hanging on for dear life. Tulsa is as well. They're both on life support. They're trying to save their season. That's a very winnable game for both of those teams. Too bad they can't both lose. You've got Eastern Michigan at Akron, Bowling Green and Toledo. So we're starting to get into the do I care about some of these games part of the season until we start ramping up towards week 10, unfortunately. You got undefeated BYU at UCF. If this would have been 4 weeks ago, I think people would have been excited about this game, but BYU is rolling and UCF is not. You've got number 22 Illinois. Yeah, it should be. You got number 22 Illinois at number 2 Oregon. That'll be an interesting one to look at. Look, man, my thoughts on this is, like, if you're getting praised by Urban Meyer, the guy who's responsible for Aaron Hernandez as a coach on your coaching decisions, it's probably not a good thing. So I'm just going to toss that one out there and leave it there.
Good God.
So you've got Missouri at Alabama. We'll see if both of those teams can bounce back. Bama, by no means is out of it. They can't win the SEC championship, but they can still make a case for a playoff bid. Texas at Vanderbilt, that can be a trap game because you already lost a big one, and then you've got, sneaky Vandy coming in to play those guys. Michigan and Michigan State, that one's on the Big Ten Network. That's kind of a disservice to that game. It's probably more of a disservice to the play on the field than anything else because I think that'll be a tight one. Penn State at Wisconsin, jump around will be in full effect. We will see if Penn State can actually get through a tough defense at Wisconsin. Their offense kind of struggles, and so that'll be the differentiator. in that one. LSU at Texas A&M, again, do we care? We would. We used to care about this matchup.
That's a barn burner every year. Come on, man. Yeah, overtimes. Like
two ranked teams.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Do we care? Yes. Yes, we care.
It's a ranked on ranked matchup, but like
LSU gave me my first offer. I'll always remember that.
Hey, when I was a kid, I wanted to play for Michigan or LSU because of the uniforms. Still my favorite uniforms in sports.
All right. LSU Tigers. That's fair. You got SMU at Duke. Duke's doing pretty well. And SMU is a great – I won't say a great team, but decent team, enough team doing well this season. You've got the Sunflower Bowl with Kansas and Kansas State. You got San Jose State at Fresno State and Cincinnati at Colorado. Like, that is now a – you know, that's a Big 12 matchup.
Listen, that game would be fascinating if it wasn't on at 10:15 at night.
Right. I mean, I'll probably watch like a quarter of that before I freaking fall unconscious. I've
been unconscious for 15 minutes when that thing kicks.
Yeah. And then, you know, closing out the rest of the slate, that last game of the night is Texas Tech at TCU, and that's a TBD. Hopefully that'll be an afternoon kick because you got three games that have afternoon or evening kicks that have not been solidified. That's West Virginia at Arizona, Utah at Houston, and Texas Tech at TCU. And those are somewhat of rivalry games, so those should be decent. But all that being said, let's pause for our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Dano, what'd you pick this week?
Charlotte just killed me, man. I went 1-2. I mean, I'm not getting over that soon. The 49ers, like that was terrible. And FAU is also terrible. I understand Cam Fancher took a little injury, so I feel bad about it. But yeesh, man, I'm under 500 again and not super happy about it. So I took Notre Dame -11.5 versus Navy. And we've already said, you know, this line has moved because of irrational exuberance. SP Plus makes the line 19.5. And I would argue that the mids might cover 19. But beyond that, you got to bet the numbers. And this is over a touchdown of irrational exuberance. There's just no way that Notre Dame is going to overlook Navy because that's a rivalry that they play every year. And because they already dropped one that where they overlooked it. I just think that this is a bad spot for the mids. I think that this is a tough spot for them. So I guess we'll see. I have been steady waiting for Navy to collapse for 2 weeks, and so far that hasn't happened. So maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm still telling you, I would bet the numbers. Illinois +21.5 at Oregon. Opposite is in play here. Oregon probably wins, but this game is probably a little closer than you think. Illinois is good. People just don't want to admit it. And finally, Louisiana Monroe +7.5 at South Alabama. Have people not noticed that ULM is good this year? Their only loss came at Texas. Yeah, give me Warhawks plus those points.
Yeah, that's fair. Joe, how about you?
Oh, last week was absolutely brutal for me. Buffalo, Arizona State, Georgia Tech, and Texas Tech all let me down. Thank you to the Duke Blue Devils for winning one game for me. But this has been a very uncharacteristic season for me on my picks so far. It's too bad we can't do stat props because I know I've sent you a few parlays that you've seen where when they let me play the yardage, I'm usually pretty on it. But no, there's been some upsets. But so this week I got six. Why not make more picks? Pick one's Ohio State minus.
This is how people lose their house, Joe.
Yeah, right. I know. Daniel, the rule in my house is if my FanDuel account gets to zero for the month, then it's at zero, and I usually keep it in the black. So, if the mids are just happy with it, then I'll keep playing.
Okay.
I'm usually pretty careful.
Hey, listen, if you're making your mortgage payment, I really don't have an issue here. I'm not your dad. I'm just saying.
I'm throwing $10, $20 at a parlay. It's nothing like that. But, it's fun for me to take Vegas for a couple $100 when I put $10 down. So it's a good time. But Ohio State versus Nebraska. I got Ohio State -25.5. This pick is for you, Dano. And no, I don't love the Buckeyes or Ryan Day, but this is going to be a bounce back game, a statement game. Hey, we're still here type of game. Call it whatever you want, but they are going to trounce the Nebraska Cornhuskers, who just lost, Cornhuskers, who just lost by 55,000 points to Indiana. They just scored again. I'm taking Ohio State to cover 25.5. It's probably going to be more like, you know, I think it's going to be like a 35-0 type game. It's going to be a beating. If they can only put 7 on Indiana, Ohio State's mad, and they just lost a very close one, and they're looking for something to beat on. And Nebraska just showed that they can't really do much against a quality team, so it's going to be bad. And then BYU, who we just talked about, versus UCF. I could not believe it when I read this game, but undefeated BYU has no spread in this game going in against Central Florida. It's a pick 'em. Yeah, give me BYU all day long to win this game. I know they're going on the road, and it'll probably be a tough game. And maybe I get this one wrong, but I don't think Central Florida is the team to give the Cougars their first loss. I just don't. Pick three is the 7-0 Indiana Hoosiers -6.5 versus Washington. Okay, I know this sounds crazy, but Indiana's undefeated. They win. Google them. I've watched a couple of their games, and I've watched every play of Washington versus Michigan. And Washington is about to get properly introduced to the Big Ten by Indiana. I like Indiana to win this game by 2 scores easily. There's a new coach and a new culture, and they've got the talent to back it up. And every once in a while, Indiana will punch you in the mouth, and they've got one of those teams. I'll take the Hoosiers to handle them. Pick four we already talked about is North Texas +8 versus Tulane.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the who wears it better bowl in Texas as the green wave lock up with the mean green. Sounds like a comic book. But I'm telling you, 8 points is too much. Give me North Texas to keep this game within reach and within a touchdown. I'll take those 8 points, Vegas. Thank you. Pick five is the Duke Blue Devils versus SMU. +11.5 at home. No, I did not read that incorrectly. The Duke Blue Devils are 11.5-point underdogs to the Southern Methodist University Mustangs at home. All right. Duke just beat Florida State for the first time ever. And like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They covered for me last week, and I believe they cover again, even if they lose. Duke, and I'll take another 11.5 points at home, Vegas. Thank you. And pick number six is the Wisconsin Badgers +6.5 in Madison against Penn State. I'm sure this pick sounds a little crazy, and maybe it is, but I've got two reasons for making it. Madison, Wisconsin students and alcohol at a 7:30 kickoff. Look, like, all kidding aside, I've watched a lot of Wisconsin this year. I've watched two of the games they played, and they're a tough team. They know Penn State quite well. This is a, you know, big dog in the Big Ten for years upon years upon years matchup where both teams are usually finishing second to Ohio State or Michigan. But that game is going to be an absolute thunderdome of noise. I guarantee you James Franklin saw this on the schedule and said, oh, shit, because that place is going to be a hellish environment to get a win. I could really see this being a field goal game. Either way, give me Wisconsin and those 6.5 points at home.
Thanks, Joe. So I went 1-2 last week. I had FAU to cover against UTSA. Go figure. That seemed like easy money. Clearly it was not. Take the under 59.5 of Bama and Tennessee. That went the way that it went. And then Georgia Tech to cover 5.5 against Notre Dame. Notre Dame showed up.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Notre Dame showed up for that game. Well,
the Alabama Tennessee, that game is historically a scorer's delight.
Yeah.
Tennessee's sure. Defense is way better than you think.
Yeah.
And that's like another show.
I think Tennessee's like probably the number five team in the country, legitimately.
But like I said, underrated. Bama's offense has been struggling. Jalen Milroe does not look like the player that he was last year. And we mentioned that earlier. And that's normally why my going in position. I wasn't concerned so much about Tennessee scoring points. I was more concerned about Bama.
It's a good point, man. He really hasn't looked like he did at the end of last season.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, you know, I'm grumpy this week, so I'm going to let the shade throwing begin. Take Illinois to cover 22.5 against Oregon. Or I think Oregon is overrated. You guys know my stance on that. They couldn't beat Ohio State without cheating, which they admitted to, and we've heard that record before. Illinois is a good team. Will they play? I think they'll play the Ducks closer. I don't think they'll blow them out. I think the Ducks are looking past other teams towards the rest of their schedule. And like Illinois, oh, they're no good. We just got past Ohio State. This is a definition trap game. So I think they're going to be set up to, play a much closer contest than that.
Can I caveat one thing before you move to your next pick?
Yes.
And this isn't fun for me to say, but I think Illinois is going to reflect one thing, and that's how bad Michigan is in this game. Because I don't think Illinois is very good from what I saw.
Yeah.
I think Oregon's a little overrated, but I think Illinois is pretty basic. And if you have a quarterback that can run, you're going to give them real problems. And Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah.
I always forget his first name. Yeah. That kid can run, man.
We'll see if he turns on the legs. I think that's probably their only way to get done. So that being said, sorry, Joe, I'm going to take Michigan State to cover 24.5 against the Wolverines.
24.5?
Yeah, that's when I picked it. It was on Sunday. It was 20 plus 24.5. So I have no idea what when they came. Right. Yeah, I think that line absolutely has moved closer. But
I'll tell you, hold on.
Yeah.
Keep going. I got a site that'll
keep going, Rob. Then, I'll look it up right now.
Roger. And then my last pick again is takes Coach Ken and San Jose State to cover 6.5 and get bowl eligible against Fresno State. I think they'll win it by a field goal. So I think that's really it. I don't know what the line is. We'll make the adjustment for
the it has fallen State. All the way to +4.5.
+4.5, yeah.
Opened I picked at 21.5 and has fallen.
Four and a half.
Yes, yeah. Like it was massive. When I looked Saturday afternoon, it was 24.5.
That's nuts, dude. I would have taken that. I'd have mortgaged my house on that one.
Well, I'm glad that it happened.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Yeah, that like.
No way. They won't score that many points.
Yeah, when I looked at that line, I was like 24.5. Please, I don't think there'll be 24.5 points scored in this whole game between both teams, let alone, you know, let's be honest, like again, not to say that I want both teams to lose because I have no dog in this fight, but like,
I think I've watched all of it, every play. It's rough.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap the show up because we've got another one coming up. So if you're in the Firsty Club or looking to join us, it's on the scroller at the bottom. Sign up for Patreon real quick and jump in to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Another week of college football is in the books. We're going to talk about the Lambert Trophy on the next show. So for those of you guys that are on the East Coast and want to know more about that, that award that has been resurged into the college football pantheon, join us for the next one. Anyway, I'm your host, Rob, here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling out of coastal Connecticut and Triggered Joe from the home of the Big House. And for those of you guys that know, this is two O's and an NCO or the College Football Roundtable on Ring Knocker Radio. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks.
Beat Navy.
Beat 'em. Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind the scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.